order, and Madam Clerk will call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderman Nelson.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Alderwoman Wilhelm and Alderman Mayer, ask that you put your microphones on mute and remember you're on mute. Thank you. With that, the first item on the agenda is citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak, please rise, come forward, give us your name and address, and let us know what you want to say. Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening. Brian Wetlaufer, 7955.
Hold on 1 second, Brian. I'm not sure it's on.
I think it's on.
Brian Wetlaufer, 7955 South 55th Street, Franklin. Good evening. I'd like to make some comments on item number 2 on tonight's agenda, if I may. Quote, it's a resolution to amend a resolution in ratification of a proclamation declaring a public health emergency in response to the coronavirus disease 2019 as amended to extend the time period of the public health emergency for 40 days. I'm a pretty simple guy. If I got that right, it means tonight you're going to be debating a resolution to extend the Franklin emergency public health order for 40 more days. Is that correct?
Well, there is no order in place. We're going to extend the declaration, yes.
Okay. Thank you. So I oppose that measure, and I oppose the resolution, and I'm asking this council, and in particular my elected representative, Alderman Barber, to oppose any extension to the Franklin public health emergency orders that may impede personal liberties or economic activity in this city. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Kevin Haley, 8945 South 116th Street. Good evening, Council. If I might, a couple of minutes, I'd like to speak on item number 10, which has to do with the flooding issues we've been having on 116th Street for years. I've been working with my neighbors up and down the street for better than 6 months trying to find out what the problem is and how we might be able to address it. We've come up with several solutions. I've been working with my neighbors across the street on the east side. We have unearthed a missing farm drain tile that's been out there for years, has been broken, plugged, not doing its job, which has basically resulted in water backing upstream on the east side of the street and across the street. We found the end of the pipe. We've had it jetted and cleaned, and it's now flowing, and water is coming out. And the big lake up on the north side is starting to drain. The problem that we have right now is there's nowhere for that water to go. The drain tile was installed at an elevation such at the time that it would have drained out via the ditch most likely. Subsequent rebuildings of the road and whatever has gone on in that area has caused those grades to be negative, if you will. So we've got a pipe that's discharging, but it's discharging below grade, and it's forced to bubble up and then flow out to the street and then try to find its way down. The city's been very helpful, engineering staff, to look at and see what we've got there. We've eliminated most of the possibilities. There's a few more out there that we'd like to pursue because none of them are a true good fix for it. They will all help to ameliorate the problem, but we're looking for something that's going to reduce the risk of flooding to everybody on the street and make this go away. There are issues with, we believe, an overflow structure further to the north, which is actually creating the large impoundment. There are plans in place to investigate that and try to fix it. Concern that I and my neighbors have is that we fix that. Now the water's all coming down. It gets to the 616th Street in front of our houses with no real place to go. So what I'm encouraging you to do is to authorize staff to move forward and continue to work with us neighbors, find a solution and implement it. Solve the problem. We think we're that close. It's difficult, but the option is there. Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin, for working on this. It's been a nightmare for ever.
Yes, and it doesn't directly affect me, but I want to see it fixed.
As do we all. So the Kevin that, or Glenn, the drawings kind of mashed out the elevation of the pipe. It's 783.26. Just so I can sound like I know what I'm talking about when we talk about it.
I'd have to look at it, but it's basically the
Where the current pipe ends.
It's flat.
The type of pipe would be the bottom of the culvert that goes underneath the road.
Yeah, so it's flat.
It would be flat if we were installed. It doesn't exist now.
So it's 783 and it's 783. Okay, thanks. Condor Aviation. Come on, ma'am, please.
Hi, I'm Sue Burgess, 5720 West Allwood Drive. I, too, have been taking a long look at number two, and I would like to also voice opposition for any extension of the time period that would impact economic activity or personal liberty in a negative way. Thanks.
Okay.
Gary Kuzmic, I live at 8956 South 116th Street, where that tile does come out, and it would be very nice if they would fix that, so my driveway ain't a foot and a half underwater half of the time. And now that we're that close, it would be nice that they would look into this a little further.
Thanks, Gary. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay. Seeing nobody else rise, I'm going to close the citizens' comment period. With that, we move on to mayoral announcements, which is Ms. Day on emergency operations stuff related to COVID. We've had lots going on.
All right. So I'll just start out briefly by going over the basic numbers and surveillance since I was last here last month. And then open it up for questions for everybody, if you have any. So right now in Franklin, we have 207 total positive cases, which is an increase of approximately 40 cases from this time last week. So we've seen quite an increase in the last week. Usually there's a little bit of a lag for people testing positive, so a lot of this would have been from exposures that occurred the last part of June leading into July. Of that, we have 155 people that have recovered, so we're actively monitoring 45 individuals and their contacts. The one thing that has changed as far as close contact monitoring is for a period of time, the contacts were generally family members or workplace colleagues of people testing positive. But that has changed within the last few weeks, and now the contacts are spreading out to bigger family circles, friend groups, as people are, it's summer, so people are out and about more so than they were in the winter and the colder months. So it is putting a little bit of a strain on my staff to keep up with all of that. So later on in the agenda, you will see an item with the money that we've received from the state to assist with bringing on some additional staff to help with the tracing aspect of this, and then the contract with the temp agency to bring those staff on board. We're hoping to get them on board as soon as possible so that they would be dedicated to doing the follow-up for COVID 100%, which would then allow my staff the freedom to do a lot of the other public health things that we've had to put on hold for the duration of this outbreak. Immunization clinics, plan review, inspections, other communicable disease investigations, and so forth. So please take in that into consideration when looking at those items. On the testing side, Franklin's numbers are pretty steady with testing, and we did do a brief poll on our social media page a few weeks ago asking if people in Franklin felt that they had the ability to be tested or knew where they could go to get tested. And much like everything these days, it was pretty much a 50-50 split. Some 50% of the people said, yep, they know where to get tested and they feel like there's adequate testing, and 50% of people said they didn't. So we are working with the Greendale Health Department to do a community testing site at the end of this month. It will be located in Greendale, but it'll be 2 days. And once we have the site and the time solidified, we'll be advertising that. So it'll be open to anyone wishing to be tested, whether they have symptoms or not, and it'll be a little closer to home for people. So hopefully those that didn't feel like they could make it to the ones that were a little further away, it gives them another opportunity to be tested. The other thing.
Who will pay for those tests?
They are free. It's through the National Guard. So it's part of, well, free. It's part of the CARES Act funding for testing that has been given to the state by the federal government.
And the turnaround on those tests?
Turnaround is 48 to 72 hours. And then also we've been working with Brian in our GIS department here to develop a dashboard for our numbers that can automate everything coming from WEDS, which is our surveillance system. So it'll automate on its own. We don't have to use staff time to do pluck out data points and manually widget count things. So we're hoping to be able to turn that on this week so that it'll be on the city website running real time so people can see day to day or every other day what the real counts are. It'll have some trending data. It'll also break things down by race, ethnicity, gender, age. So it'll be a lot more data for everybody on a much more frequent basis. Let's see what else. That's all I really have on surveillance right now, so I guess I will.
What's our current positives ratio?
Oh, positive rate right now is 6.1%, so that has gone up. We were at roughly 5.5% last week, so ticked up a little bit.
Yeah. Mr. Alderman Dandrea.
Courtney, can I ask a question in regards to, you said testing has been relatively consistent. Have we seen a drop in the number of tests in, you know, compared to historically?
Yeah, so most days we, if I were to take an average, I would say most days we're about 50 to 60 tests that process per day. Some days there's an uptick. So when the National Guard sites first came on board, we saw an uptick because they were there and people were using them. But now it's sort of leveled off again. And we want to make sure that there is opportunity for people that want to be tested to be comfortable to get tested. So there are a lot of sites now. There's the National Guard sites. A lot of the pharmacies are doing it. Physician offices sometimes will only do it if you're a patient at their facility. So we want to make sure that we have enough other sites that are in relative close proximity to Franklin so that individuals can get tested closer to home.
Okay, thanks.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
Alderman Wilhelm. Yeah. Go ahead, Alderman.
Courtney, could you talk a little bit more about the methods that people are, how they're contacting us, because they're contracting it? Because, I mean, I just wasn't so clear. You said sort of workplace, so you mentioned a couple things. Could you talk about what you're seeing mostly?
Sure. Places? Yeah, sure. So kind of going through the duration of the pandemic, initially when it started, it was a lot of people within the healthcare setting or nursing home setting that were contracting it. And then we saw it kind of spread to family units as we went through the safer at home orders. And then now that the safer at home orders have been lifted, we're starting to see more community spread, meaning that when we're talking to people, there's no direct link to anybody else a lot of the time. So what we're looking for is if we're seeing any trends in locations where people might have been, that maybe there are different high-risk settings or high-risk types of business or that type of thing, to try to pinpoint if there is additional education or mitigation methods or you know, do we have to have conversations or take a walk around certain businesses just to see if there's anything that we can do to improve health and safety for people that are working there or maybe there as a patron. So what we did find was a fair number of cases where people indicated that they had been at live music outdoor settings, not necessarily specific to a Franklin location, although that was the case in a few, but that they were attending live concerts in the park or live concerts that were outdoors at a bar. So that was the link we found. There was more than a handful, enough for us to start to see a pattern and for us to start linking them together. So for that reason, out of the abundance of caution, I did issue an order today on three venues in the city of Franklin that do have live music, to not to close their establishment, not to prevent their establishment from having customers, but to pause the live music aspect of that venue for a time, hopefully not a long time, but just so we can get through this spike in cases and have things kind of calm back down.
Well, I'm trying to understand, I thought that being outside was a little bit safer than being inside. Are there people not wearing masks and being too close together and not doing social distancing when there are people?
Yes, to all of that. It would be, I mean, It depends on the venue, but in these instances, and in speaking to a few of the owners of the establishment, there is an increase in crowd size that makes physical distancing a little bit more difficult. Yes, when you're outdoors, it is better than being in a closed indoor space, but if you're still right next to somebody who has it and it's a loud environment where you might have to shout to be heard, and you're not wearing a mask, that then can project droplets farther onto people or project them in a higher magnitude or higher number than normal conversation voices. So I think it was a combination of potentially all of that. And what we want to prevent from happening is having some sort of outbreak associated with Franklin while we're in this spike.
Thank you.
Alderwoman Hanneman.
Courtney, are you finding any resistance in the contact tracing with people being honest and upfront about where they have been and who they've been with?
Yeah, it's hit or miss and understandable. I mean, we are strangers, and we technically work for the government, so nobody is really excited to get a phone call from someone. But this really is the best way for us to figure out who may have been exposed. And while a lot of individuals are not high risk, there are plenty of people who are. So this is our way of finding out if any of those high risk people were exposed so that they can take the proper precautions and know what to be looking for as far as symptoms go. It also gives us an opportunity to see if there are any Franklin establishments that might be struggling to keep things under control. We're not trying to shut anybody down. We don't want to close any businesses. We want to help everybody to succeed. And we think we did that at the start of this by having a lot of businesses submit to us a plan of how they wanted to open safely so that they could see, you know, and be held to that standard. If things start to go wrong, we may need to look at the plan and change it. But our goal is we're not trying to shut businesses down. We want to make sure that everybody is doing things as safely as possible.
How many orders, legal orders, restricting anything are currently in place?
There is one order that was issued to three establishments that restricts live music outdoors only.
So we commonly hear 50% occupancy. We hear, you know, social distancing. We hear these kind of terms thrown around. Are those legal orders?
They're not legal orders. It's guidance. It's best practice. Some of the protective factors are best practice. You know, wash your hands, stay 6 feet apart, wear a mask if you can't socially distance. All of those things are just best practice from the CDC, from the World Health Organization, from DHS. Those are best practice guidelines for people to follow. But they're not orders. It's not anything that's being mandated. No one's going to get a ticket if they're standing 2 feet away from somebody or if they're not wearing a mask. And likewise, businesses right now, for the most part, our guidance says to operate at 75% capacity. But again, no one's going to call the Franklin Police Department if somebody is open full bore. If they are open and we trace cases back to them or people call with concerns about overcrowding, we touch base with them and make sure that they're doing things safely. We've gotten plenty of calls from people who are concerned about businesses that they think have too many people in it, but we've gone there and we've been able to either work with them to fix the problem or been able to circle back to that individual who had the concern and say, you know what, nope, they're doing everything right, they're okay.
So on the week of May 13th, after the state Supreme Court overturned Evers Safer at Home, when you and your staff contacted the restaurants and the bars and said, listen, you know, you're free to open, but we would like you to produce a plan for us on how you would social distance and your sanitation. When you asked them to do that, what was the general reaction from bars and restaurants?
Yeah, by and large, they were happy to do it and happy for our assistance. A lot of them felt like they were kind of left floundering with the, you're closed, now, hey, floodgates open, now you're open. And a lot of them weren't ready to open because they hadn't put plans in place. There weren't plans for them yet from either WEDIC, the Economic Development Corporation, or the state, or the CDC. So they were kind of flying blind. So we were able to work with them with the guidelines that were out there to come up with a plan that worked for them. And so it helps hold them accountable, and it also helped them show their staff that they were serious about taking things safely. It's something that they can say, you know what, to their customers, we made this plan with the health department to do things safely. So it was met with very little resistance, if any at all. And we also did that outside of establishments that are licensed by the city. We spoke with salons and spas, gyms, and that type of establishment as well. Anything that was closed under the order, we tried to reach out and make sure they had an avenue to get help with the reopening plan.
Any other questions?
Courtney? The
Alderman Barber.
The news is reporting that the city and the county are trying to
City of Milwaukee.
That would be face masks required.
City of Milwaukee.
And Milwaukee County was looking at that also. I thought I heard that on the news at the county. Do you have a feel for that at all as to where that stands?
Yeah, so I believe the city of Milwaukee is currently looking at an ordinance to be put in place to mandate masks in indoor and outdoor spaces. But what I will say is that the other Milwaukee County health officers are all in line with, while we recommend masks in public settings when people can't or don't feel like they can keep a safe physical distance, we don't feel that requiring them is necessary or practical for a fair number of people for a variety of reasons, and also that masks by themselves do not prevent anything. The best practice is to make sure you're washing your hands and staying physically distant from someone. Masks can certainly help if you are asymptomatic and you might have the chance of impacting somebody else by being too close to them. Certainly they can help, but it is not the only way that this can spread, and it's not the only way to prevent spreading it. And by and large, there are far, far, far many things that people do that are a little bit riskier when they're wearing masks, because they kind of forget about washing their hands, or they get hot, so they pull it down, or they pull it up, or they wear it around their ear, or all sorts of, or they take it off with their hand and then lick their hand, and all sorts of things that, you know, you're not thinking about because you're thinking the mask keeps me safe. So for that reason, and people that have disabilities, it's not something that I'm looking to put forward as a Franklin-specific practice for everybody. Certainly if a business wants to do that, I would support that. If it was something that the elected officials here wanted to move forward with, I would support that as well. But it's not something the health department is looking at doing at this time.
It's not in the resolution for this evening.
Oh, no, not at all.
Thank you.
We have to be clear. The only city attorney is going to have to correct me if I misspeak. The only people that can issue an order requiring masks, the health department of the city of Franklin for the city, or the health department for the state of Wisconsin. Milwaukee County has no health department that can issue such an order. City of Milwaukee health department cannot mandate the city of Franklin to do anything. So that's, well, people have misunderstandings about these kind of things. So, we got to be clear about that. Did I say anything incorrect, city attorney?
You were correct with regard to the health officer's authority.
Thank you. I expect on next Monday that there will be a resolution by the Intergovernmental Cooperation Council, which is all the mayors and village presidents, to have a resolution in support of the Milwaukee face mask. And depending on how it's worded, I might support it if it's innocuous enough, but I will not support a resolution that says everyone must wear a mask, because I don't think that's realistic. So anyway, so there's my position. Anyone else have questions for the health officer? So without objection, Alderwoman Wilhelm.
I don't have a question, but I'm just thinking if masks help the businesses stay open, it just sort of makes a little bit of sense to do that if we, you know, want to have our economy going. But, and as far as touching a mask and pulling it down, well, okay, that's not proper wearing it, but it's probably still better than open coughing and, you know, breathing out. Yeah. Okay. You're gonna touch surfaces anyway. I don't know. Seems to me like the people that
people that want to stay open should sort of understand that that might be able to be one of the ways to help us stay open.
And we'll be happy to provide them advice and counsel on how to make that happen. Absolutely.
Okay.
But I'm not going to tell them to do it. But if they want us to help them, be happy to. Anyone else? Okay, without objection, we'll move to item G2, which is... Alderman Mayor. Alderman Mayor. Absolutely. And you should wash your hands before you put your mask on. You should really wash your face and your hands before you put your mask on. Alderman Nelson.
I guess just a point. You brought up an interesting point about proper wearing of masks, where Milwaukee County is now having all of the employees wear masks, whether they're working inside or outside. And it's an interesting point that I, you know, really never really thought of, is that constant adjusting, which increases the touching of your face. And so do you see at this point, and I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask anyway, do you see at this point anything getting mandated or moving down the road for the City of Franklin employees that you would require them or mandate that they wear masks?
Not anything that I can see in the foreseeable future, no.
Okay. So without objection, we'll move to G2, which is a resolution to amend a resolution ratification of a proclamation declaring a public health emergency in response to the coronavirus disease 2019, COVID-19, as amended to extend the time period for the public health emergency for 40 more days.